Take your Bibles, please, tonight. Turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the next thing that happened here. Preached this morning on the shepherds, and then Luke continues telling the story. And I want to preach on the next thing that Luke tells us about. So if you will turn to Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 21. It says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him unto the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." So that's the firstborn, every male that openeth the womb, the firstborn. "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Not just the Jews. All right, all people, for us too. Verse 32, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And let me stop right there. I was originally going to preach on Simeon and Anna, but I didn't get to Anna. So I'll read my notes here. I'm supposed to read down to verse 39, but I didn't get to Anna. So we're not going to read about Anna tonight. Maybe I'll do that one next week. I don't know. But I want to speak to you tonight on this fellow Simeon, this priest. I'm going to entitle the message tonight, Simeon and the Child. Simeon and the Child. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless and help us tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now your richest blessings upon the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, again, I need your help tonight as I speak. I always need you to help me. Lord, we have a great crowd of folks here tonight, and we need to hear from you. And Lord, the only way we can do that is if you bless and if you empower me and help me as I speak. And Lord, you know my heart. I want to be a blessing. So I pray that you will help me to be that tonight. And just give all of us, Lord, what we need from your word. How thankful we are that we have a Bible. That we have something that we can open and with authority say, this is the word of God. And so, Lord, as the word of God, help us to hear it. And we'll give you praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've often tried to picture this scene in my mind as I read Luke's detailed account of Joseph and Mary proudly bringing their new baby into the temple for his dedication. I don't know of a more beautiful scene that could be imagined than this meeting between this aged saint of God and the child who was the Ancient of Days in human form. Here is the aged old priest, the aged old servant of the Lord, and he is just waiting. God, he has a promise from God that he will not see death until he sees the Lord's Messiah, the consolation of Israel. And so here is this old man now, and just imagine the joy in his heart. Just imagine when his spirit identifies with the spirit that is in this baby, and when the Holy Spirit tugs at his heart and reveals to him who he's holding, just imagine what a scene that must have been. The Ancient of Days, the Lord Jesus, in human form, now lying in the aged arms of this old saint of God. What a picture runs through my mind. You know, as we read the Gospels, and as we follow the life of Christ, we see him constantly surrounded on all sides by hypocrisy, religious hypocrisy, and by those that were steeped in false religion. Everywhere he went, especially in his 3.5 years of earthly ministry, we see him just butting up against a false religion and hypocrisy at every turn. And that has often caused me to stop and question whether there was anybody in all of Israel who had true faith in God and in his promises. But here in this text, we find two people. We find Simeon and we find Anna. Both of them had true faith in the promises of God. They were living by faith in the given promises of God through his word, through the prophets. These two saints of God were living holy and separated lives. They were believing without question what God had promised in his scriptures, that the Messiah was indeed coming. I read recently, and I can't remember where I read it. I even tried to find it and couldn't find it, so I don't know if I threw it away or where I read it. But it was about a graveyard down in Virginia, and it is a Civil War graveyard. And it says that there is a tombstone that has been erected over several soldiers' remains who were killed during the war. And the tombstone reads, "Who they were, no one knows. What they were, everyone knows. Who they were, no one knows. What they were, everyone knows." And you know, I think we could apply this line to Simeon. I really think that we could. Who Simeon was, we will never know until we get to heaven, because Luke does not tell us who he was. None of the other gospel writers give us any clue as to who he was. But what he was, well, we know that. We know that he was a man of God. We know he was devout. We know that he was consecrated unto the Lord. What he was in his daily walk and in his daily life, and what he was deep inside his heart in the sight of God, everyone knows who has taken the time to read Luke's gospel. Simeon then was in the temple when the Lord Jesus was brought in for his dedication. When that happened, God revealed to him that child he was holding in his arms was indeed the Messiah. Now, I want to show you a couple things here about Simeon and show you a couple of basic principles that I think we can glean from his life. First of all, I want to say this, and let me say it, and then I'll explain it. You're not going to get it just from me saying it. You'll have to listen to the explanation. But please listen to the first statement that I want you to get. The first thing I think we learn from him is this, that we should never give up hope. We should never give up hope. Now, folks, I want you to think. I taught you something back when we were doing our study on the life of Christ that I need you to remember. If you go to the last book in the Old Testament, don't turn to it, I'm just wanting you to see it in your mind. If you go to the last book in your Old Testament, what is the last book? All right, Malachi, right. The Italian prophet, Malachi, right. Malachi, right. You got it? All right, now, you go to the last chapter in Malachi, and then you turn the page, and you will see the New Testament, title page for the New Testament. And then you'll turn that page, and you will see Matthew 1, right? Now, please understand this. From Malachi to Matthew is 400 years. 400 years. And please understand that in that 400 years, there was no prophet, no voice, no word from God. They are called in history, and when you, if you go to Bible college, you have to learn about that 400 years, and that 400 years is called the 400 silent years. And they call it the silent years because for 400 years, there was no word from God. Nothing. Nobody was getting any revelation from God. Now, the last Old Testament prophet was Malachi, and in 400 years, and no word from God. So I submit to you, now listen, by the time you get to when Christ was born, by the time you get through that 400 year period to where Christ was born, the Jews that were living during that time had absolutely no hope and nothing to live for. I mean, spiritually speaking, they had no hope. In that 400 year period, the Babylonians had destroyed their city. They had rebuilt it. They had rebuilt their temple. They had been conquered by the Medes and the Persians, and then by the Greeks, and then by the Romans, and they were just devastated. Their country was decimated. They were robbed and plundered, and their women were raped, and their men were sold into slavery. I mean, they had nothing at the end of that 400 years. Their hope was banished. And it was said that when Alexander the Great crossed into Asia, he suddenly gave away almost all of his belongings to his men. And his men were surprised, and they looked at him with dismay every time he came and thanked somebody for serving and fighting for him, and then said, "I want you to have this." And he would give some valuable possession away to one of his men. And finally, one of his captains asked him, said, "Sir, you've given away everything you have. What will you keep for yourself?" And the answer of the king was, "I keep hope. I keep hope." And Simeon was like Alexander. He had parted with much through the years, but he held on to one thing that kept him going, and that one thing was hope that he was going to see the Lord's consolation. He held on to the hope that God was going to, in due time, send the consolation to Israel just as he had promised. He knew he would live long enough to see that consolation. He had hope, and he held on to it. Now, we do not read here in the text that Simeon was an old man, but from the way the text reads, we get the idea that he was indeed up in years. But that gives support to what I'm saying, in that he never gave up. He never lost his hope in the promise that God was going to send the Redeemer. And that hope was what kept him going. I dare say that by the time Christ was born, there were multitudes of people who had just given up. They had thrown in the towel and they had lost all hope. But Simeon had a promise, and he never lost hope in God's promise. Notice his hope was rooted in character and in strong devotion towards God. Look at verse 25. Look at what it says. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation." Waiting. If he had not been a just man, a devout man, I doubt he would have stayed with it. Do you? I mean, if he had not been a devout and just man, if he had not stayed faithful to God and kept his eyes on the promise and walked with the Lord, his heart would have lost all hope, and he would have been just like everybody else in that dark day. But he was a just and devout man, the Bible says. Let me tell you something, folks. Dishonest conduct and forgetting God in your daily life will always be associated with losing hope. For hope hangs like a fruit on the tree of a devoted Christian life. And you know, I'm meeting so many people. I'm talking about Christians. I'm running into so many Christians that are losing hope in this day and age in which we live. Don't do that, Christian. You got a Bible that's full of promise, and you can mark it down. Every one of these promises God gives us are going to come true as they are written. Don't you get discouraged. You say, "Well, Pastor, I figured the Lord would have come back by now." Everything's right on schedule. Trust me. Trust me on that. Don't lose hope. Don't get discouraged. I think you can make so many parallels between the way things were then to how things are today. There is so little light in our world today. Man, it just seems like everywhere you look, there is chaos and confusion. There's chaos and confusion in the government. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. There is chaos and confusion in churches. Man, whatever happened to just being a sound and biblically right? I mean, everywhere you look, there are churches and preachers that are questioning whether or not the Bible is even the Word of God. We should never be having that debate in church. Mercy, what's wrong with us? There is so little light in our world. And as you look at our economy and you look at all the corruption and all the deception that's in our government, and you look at the Islamic world calling for the destruction of Israel, I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christian people that have decided that their best bet is just go find a hole and crawl in that hole and pray that Jesus hurries up and comes back to get us. Brethren, that's not how we're supposed to live. We should not live that way. We cannot lose hope in the promises of God. The promises of God are real. The promise of Christ's return is real. And we need to be expectant and hoping beyond hope that one day soon we'll hear that trumpet sound. But we will only feel that hope as we are like Simeon, just and devout people. I mean, we got to be in the book. We got to be serving. We got to be faithful, or we're going to lose our hope. We'll lose it. There's a hold your place right here. Hold your place right here. Let me go over. Let me show you something here. All right, go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Just hold your place. We're not going to be here a second. This is not in my notes. It just flashed in my mind. Chasing rabbits right now. All right, look at verse 5. We'll go back to 4. We'll go back to 3. All right, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, what's the next word? Add to your faith. Now let me ask you, how'd you get saved? By grace through faith. All right, so faith is how you got saved. All right, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, so look at it this way. Here's faith, the foundation. You watch him? Here's faith, the foundation. And he says, look at your Bible now. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. In other words, the Christian life is you starting with faith and then building upon that foundation, a building that is honoring to the Lord. Now look at verse 8. He said, for if these things, if what things? Virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's why I want you reading your Bible. I want you adding to your faith. That's why I want you coming to church 3 times a week. I want you adding to your faith. I want you building upon that foundation, which is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? But now look at this. But he that lacketh these things is what? Blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was even purged from his own sins. You ever run into anybody and you say, well, do you go to church anywhere? And they'll say, well, no, you know, I used to, but I don't go anymore. I used to ride the bus at the church, the open door. Oh, really? Well, that's where I go to church. Yeah, I rode the bus when I was a teenager. And, well, let me ask you, if you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I sure hope I would. Well, you don't know? Well, no, I don't know for sure, but I sure hope I would. Or you run into somebody and you say, if you die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Well, I'm not real sure. And then you go through the plan of salvation with them, and here's what they say. Well, you know, I did that one time. I did that one time. Oh, I've had hundreds and hundreds of people tell me that. And you say, well, what is that? I'll tell you, it's right there. If you are a saved person, you got in by faith. And then you read the Bible and you come to church and you read the Bible and you come to church and you take the Soul Winners Club and you get in the choir and you teach in the Sunday school. You serve the Lord. You take those things that you get and you grow as a believer. And if you don't do that, what happens is you will one day be spiritually blind as to what's going on around you, and you will not even know whether or not you're even saved. That's what Peter says. And so I'm telling you that Simeon did not lose hope. It does not say he was an old man, but you cannot help but see that he was an old man. And he got the promise that he would not die until he saw the consolation. And listen, I tell you, I've met an awful lot of people in the ministry. I've met an awful lot of people. Look at verse 29. Does this sound like a young man speaking? Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. I tell you, I'm 57. I ain't ready to go. I ain't ready. You ready? His hair's a whole lot older than mine. But he's younger than me. You aren't ready to go, are you?
Not today.
Not today. I'm not ready to go. I got too much I want to do. I am not ready to go. That sounds like an old man talking right there. I've had so many people tell me, Pastor, I'm just tired. I'm ready to go home. I've had a lot of people tell me that. Gladys Beaver told me that every time I saw her in the last 10 years. Oh, Pastor, I'm just so tired. I just want to go home. Oh, Pastor, I'm just ready to go home. I've had people call me and say, would you come over here and pray for me? Sure. I go over there. I stand by their bed. They take me by the hand. They say, preacher, here's what I want you to pray. I want you to pray that God will just take me home. Serious? Yes, sir. Pray that. And so I do. I pray, Lord, take them home. That's what they want. They're saved. They're ready to go. I'm telling you, folks, I believe Simeon was an old man. What kept his hope alive? I'll tell you what it was. He stayed with it. He wasn't in and out and up and down, cold and hot. And no, he just was faithful to God. Oh, that's what's needed today. There's the second thing. I got to move on. Oh, my goodness. I'd like to stay right there, but I got to move on. Look at this. Look at this. Let me give you a second thing. And again, let me say it and then I'll explain it. Number two, we see God's performance is greater than his promise. All right, now let me explain. Now, before I do that, let me tell you, this second point I'm not taking out of the Bible. All right? This is theory. What I'm going to give you is theory, although the point is true. God's performance is always greater than his promise. What God's going to do, and I'll show you that in a minute, that I know for a fact. What God says he's going to do is always greater than the promise that he makes that he's going to do it. Now let me explain. You remember I told you a couple years ago, last time we were in Israel, I went down to the Jaffa Gate and there's a Christian bookstore there. And I found four books. Four books. They were expensive. They were real expensive. I couldn't believe it. But I already had them on the counter. He rung them up and I said, ooh, okay. So I had to donate a kidney to get them. But they were the writings of the rabbis. What the rabbis have to say about the Old Testament. Fascinating stuff. Absolutely fascinating. And the rabbis have a legend connected to Simeon that I want to use to launch into this point. I'm going to prove it biblically here, but what I'm telling you about Simeon right now is just, it's just legend. They say that the legend goes that the old rabbi Simeon was reading Isaiah 7:14. Now, you know what that says. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, now shall call his name Emmanuel. All right? So the legend says that Simeon, the rabbi, was reading Isaiah 7:14, where the promise was made that a virgin would bear a son and they would call his name Emmanuel. And the legend says that as he read that the Holy Spirit spoke to him and revealed to him that with his own eyes, he would see the virgin's son. That he would live to see the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. Now, they go on to say that all he dared hope for was just a glimpse. That's all that he hoped for. I mean, he just hoped that he would, before he died, catch a fleeting glimpse as the promised Redeemer passed by. The rabbis say that he lived in expectation really, in his mind, what he saw was that, and his hope was that someone would come up to him one day, tap him on the shoulder, point at a woman carrying a baby, and say, "Look, Simeon, that woman is carrying the Messiah." And that's all he hoped for. But here in the temple, at this moment, came Joseph and Mary and the Messiah, and Simeon got much more than just a glimpse. Unannounced, simply doing his duty, without any pretense, he greets a happy couple bringing their son into the temple, just like multitudes of people did every single day. And instead of just a passing glimpse, he holds the child of all his hopes in his own arms. Look at verse 28. It says, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God." Folks, it is no wonder that Simeon broke forth into such an outburst of praise to God. If this legend has any merit to it, he got a whole lot more than he ever thought he would get. A whole lot more. You see, folks, God's promise kept him going through a many a long and weary day. But the performance performance was greater than the promise. But isn't that just like our God to do that? Huh? I mean, do you not remember that when you pray, the promise is that you receive exceeding abundantly above what you could ask or think? Do you not remember that the promise is, when you give, it shall be given you? I mean, the promise is good, but wait a minute. The performance is always better than the promise. It always is. We get salvation. And man, we're thrilled and we're excited because our sins are forgiven, never to be remembered against us anymore. But wait a minute, Paul said, "Hey, Christian, you happy with your salvation? Don't you enjoy what you've got in Jesus? But wait a minute, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Oh my, you think your salvation is good now? Just wait till you get to heaven. You think it's good right here in this old body of flesh with the sin nature still raging in all of us. You think it's good now. Wait till the promise is fulfilled. Whew, you hadn't seen anything yet. You see, we always see God giving more than is in the promise that he gave us. But then there's a third thing quickly. I want you to remind you that Simeon saw Jesus in the temple. That's important. He saw him in the temple. You know, as I read the Christmas story in the Gospels, as we read it, I mean, we see that the shepherds saw him lying in the manger. We saw that this morning. They saw him in the manger. The wise men came from the east. I'm going to preach on them next week probably. The wise men came from the east a couple of years later, and they saw him in a house where they lived in Nazareth. But this devout soul, Simeon, saw him in the house of God. Now there's a sense in which we all must find Christ in the manger, and there is a sense in which we all must discover him under life's lowly roofs. And by that, I mean we must discover him in places where our daily lives are lived. But I submit to you, church, we will miss him if we do not see him in the house of God. Man, I'm all for church, aren't you? Yeah, I think you are. You wouldn't be here. We should never come through the doors of this place without uttering as a prayer the words that those Greeks spoke to Philip when they came and to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." That ought to be our prayer every time we come to the house of God. That is what we want to do here in our wonderful little church. I mean, through the music, we would see Jesus. Through the preaching, we would see Jesus. Through our ministries, we would see Jesus. Through the soul winning, we would see Jesus. Through the bus ministry, through the missions program, through all we do in the house of God, we want to see Jesus. Never let it be about the preacher. Never. Hey, folks, never let it be about the preacher. Never let it be about the staff. Never let it be about the choir. Never let it be about the organization. Always let it be about Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. And then lastly, number four, we learn that until we see Jesus, we are not yet ready to die. That's true, isn't it? That's what he said. Look at it. Look at verse 29. He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You best not die until you've seen the Lord. You better make sure that you know Jesus as your Savior. And we know that we are all one day going to die. We know that. So you best be prepared, dear friend. You need to know the Lord as your Savior before that fearful day comes in your life. Simeon was now ready to go because he had seen the Lord. The promise was fulfilled in his life, and now he was ready to depart from this world. And my question to you is this: have you seen the Lord Jesus yet? Have you seen him? And I don't mean by that you've seen him with your physical eyes. I mean you've seen him through eyes of faith. Because that's the only way you're going to see him, is through eyes of faith. And realize that length of years has nothing to do with your readiness. Please realize that. I mean, we're not ready to die when we hit 80 or 90. We're ready to die when we've seen Jesus. When we know the Savior, then we're ready. Age, length of years, that's not the determining factor. The determining factor is, have you seen the Lord Jesus? And when Simeon had seen the Lord, he could say, Lord, now I can depart because I've seen thy salvation. My dear friend, have you seen the Lord? Do you know him as your Savior? If you have never trusted him for salvation, I submit to you, you are not yet ready to depart from this world. Last Monday night was the Conkers Christmas dinner. And like you all don't have to hear me enough, Pastor Ray asked me if I'd speak. And I tried to tell him no, but when he said free crab imperial, I just had to succumb. And so Josh and Kathy and the baby got home on Monday afternoon. And Jenna, we kept Braden and Jenna over the weekend while they were a little busy. And so Jenna had left her necklace at the house, and it was a special gift to her. So I wanted to drop it off so Kathy wouldn't worry about it. But I also wanted to see the baby. So I stopped and I dropped off the necklace I went in. Lauren had the baby, and so I'm Lauren's father. So I said, give it up. And so I held the baby. So I'm sitting on the chair and I'm holding this and admiring this little fella. Just in awe of what God can do. Everybody had been taking turns holding him, and everybody was loving on him and taking pictures of him. I'm sitting there holding him, and Ava walks over. Now Ava is 5 years old. Ava walks over, and she comes up beside of me, and Ava is our little tender soft one, she comes over, she crawls up in my lap, or beside of me, and I'm holding the baby in my lap, and she looks up at me and she says, "Papa, can I hold him?" And I said, well, yeah, I guess. And so I said, okay, you can hold him. And so I laid the baby in her arms, and she was sitting there holding him, and I was looking at her face. Oh, she was holding that baby and admiring that baby and loving that baby with every fiber of her being. It was so sweet. It was so sweet. And so after about 30 seconds, I said, okay, it's enough. No, I let her hold him for a little while. And then I said, okay, let Papa have him back. And I took him back in my arms. And then she wandered off, and everybody else was, and I'm sitting there, and I noticed that I was doing the same thing she was doing. I was just looking down into that perfectly little old oval face. And I was admiring him, and I was just loving him. And I was just whispering to him and telling him I love him and all this. And then when I was driving up the road, I was thinking about it, heading up to the restaurant, I was thinking about it. And here's what crossed my mind. Here's what crossed my mind. I said, you know, every little child loves to hold a new baby. All of our kids, all the grandkids, they all want to hold. Can I hold him? Can I hold baby Joey? Can I hold him? Can I hold him? Sure, you can hold him. So we sat there and we let every little child loves to hold a newborn baby. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Every adult loves to hold a newborn baby. I held him this afternoon for a long time. Actually, I held him until my back started to hurt. And then I went and sat down and held him. Everybody likes to hold a new baby. Now, let me take the baby Jesus from Simeon's arms tonight. Let me just take the baby from Simeon's arms tonight, and let me offer him to you. Let me just offer him to you. And I would love for you to hold him in your arms and look down into his face and not love him back. You can't do it. Let me just take the baby Jesus from Simeon and hand him to you. What are you going to do with him? I tell you what you're going to do with him. You're going to love him. Would you love him tonight?